So today, what is our topic? Kako postaviti Krishni v prashanye. That was my Slovenian for today, with a little help. The last time I was here was what, 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago? Three already. 4 weeks. Huh?
July 10th.
Wow, okay. Time is flying by. So, at that time, what was our topic?
Why listen to Krishna?
Why listen to Krishna? Very good, thank you. So now, I thought we'll shift and have a slightly different question, namely, how to ask Krishna a question. And this is something we may all be wondering, how to ask Krishna a question, especially we may be wondering whether Krishna will give us an answer. That's the first question, right? Will Krishna give me an answer if I ask him a question? Of course, there's another question that comes. Is there Krishna? Does Krishna exist? To which I will just say briefly, it is not unreasonable to accept that Krishna exists, but his existence is not the same sort of existence as anything we are familiar with. Okay, I won't go into that. We're reading Bhagavad Gita, and in Bhagavad Gita we have Krishna speaking with Arjuna, and Arjuna is asking questions to Krishna. And so I thought, well, what if we look at some of the questions that Arjuna asks to Krishna? I mentioned that this will be my subject. I mentioned Prahlada Nandan Swami asked me, so what's your topic? And I said, we'll talk about the questions of Arjuna to Krishna. And he said, oh, are you going to give any of the answers? I said, no, that's for the next time. You have to wait. We keep you in suspense. Or we urge you to read Krishna's answers. It's all there in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, so we have prepared this time the slides. And with the help of Sharada Tilaka, Devi Dasi, we got this time also not just the Sanskrit and the English, but also the beautiful Slovenian language translation. So this will keep you awake. So let's begin. Let's begin in the beginning of the... near the beginning of the second chapter. We can chant together the Sanskrit, those of you who would like to. We don't have the... Some of you will perhaps be concerned, where are the diacritic marks? Well, we don't have, but that's okay. Some of the Sanskritists amongst us will be concerned. Okay, here we go. Arjuna uvacha katam bhishmam maham sankhe dronam cha madhusudana ishubi pratiyotsyami pujarhav arisudana. And the translation in Slovenian. Who wants to read? Maybe I should read. No, I said I don't speak. I could try. Should I try?
Yes.
Arjuna ye rekal o obiyalets sovrajnikov o Krishna kisi ubil demona maduya kako ne se vbitki pushchitsami zoperstavim mojem kot sta bhishma in drona ki sta vredna mojega chaschenya. Wow, you're an easy crowd to please. All right. In English, we would say, Arjuna said, O Madhusudan, how can I shoot arrows in battle on men like Bhishma and Dronacharya, who are worthy of my worship, O destroyer of enemies? Well, now I have to wonder, this doesn't seem quite to be, this is not quite Prabhupada's translation. This app that you used, I think, maybe from some other source. Next time, you can use Vedabase. It's online. It's very good. But, okay. Now, this question, the circumstance of the question, most of you are very familiar with, that Arjuna is on this battlefield before the battle begins, and he is known as a great hero, a powerful warrior. The battle is been brewing. It's been coming finally after long, long conflict within a family. It's going to be a fratricidal war. It's a very terrible war described in great detail in the Mahabharata, of which the Bhagavad Gita is a kind of interlude. It's a very small section within the sixth parvan, I believe. And before the battle, Arjun loses his nerve. And he loses nerve because he sees, he already knew, but he sees now in front of him the warriors about to fight. And he sees they're including the two that are mentioned here, Bhishma and Drona. Drona was his military teacher. And he had great respect for Drona. He had similar respect for Bhishma, who was like a grandfather. He was raising him together with his brothers from childhood, in effect. And in effect, it was Bhishma who was protecting the Pandavas all their lives in so many ways. And now he's faced with the prospect of fighting against those he honors most. And therefore he's asking this question. Now, in the previous chapter, Arjuna has already asked, raised questions, and he's made arguments against his own involvement in the fight. But the questions that he raises, including this one, are what would be called rhetorical questions. Rhetorical question is not a question that you're exactly looking for an answer to, but it's more you're making an argument. So he is saying to Krishna with the question, how can I shoot arrows against Bhishma and Drona? The answer, I can't. It's not There's no question of doing such a thing. It's out of the question, in effect, is what he's saying. So we're starting this discussion about questions for Krishna by taking a question which is an argument against a possibility, against this option of fighting. In effect, Arjuna is saying, there's no question of fighting against, for example, these great, most honored persons. So he's going to go on in a similar tone. He's going to, in effect, again, rhetorically say why it doesn't make any sense. But then he's going to take a step in which he's going to say, okay, that's what I say, that it's out of the question, but now I want to hear what you say. I want to hear what you, Krishna, say. Now, this is very critical. We had this verse almost 4 weeks ago, and so I didn't put it here this time, but karpanya dosho apahata svabhava prichami tvang dharma samudacheta yat shreyasyan nischitam bruhi tanme. Tell me definitely what I should do, what is the best, shreya. Shishyaste, now I'm your student. So now he's making a giant step, and we may want to say this is the whole key to asking Krishna questions. Krishna's not going to answer our questions unless and until we put ourselves in a position similar to that of Arjuna, until we submit ourselves, until we say, okay, now I'm confused. Now I need help. It's hard for us to admit that sometimes, isn't it? Why? Because we want to say, you know, I'm tough, I can do it all myself. I know everything. I'll figure it out myself. I'll get it all worked out myself. As John Wayne, the American hero actor, said, I did it my way. No, not John Wayne, sorry. Frank Sinatra, yeah, the singer. I did it my way, you know. So we have to, it's a nice reflection to consider how Arjuna is putting himself before Krishna to ask questions. So that's what he's doing when he says, Shishyasteham, now I'm your student. And prapannam, I am surrendered. I am taking your shelter. Okay. Now I want to jump to another question. As I said, we're not giving Krishna's answers here. This is later in the same chapter. Should I try this one? Yeah? No, now it's just going to be a comedy, if I do. Okay, one more. Arjuna ye rekel, O Krishna, kakshne so lasnosti chloveka chigar zavest ye tako prajeta z transcendent so. O chem govori in kako se izraja, kako sedi in kako hodi. Kako sedi, sedi, i kako hodi. Ah. Okay, now this is four questions in one. Arjuna got lots of questions in on this one. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what are the symptoms of one whose consciousness is thus merged in transcendence? How does he speak and what is his language? How does he sit and how does he walk? Okay, now, after having heard from Krishna about the difference between spirit and matter, about Buddhi Yoga, how it's important if one wants to understand the difference between spirit and matter to take up a practice of yoga. This practice involves samatvam. What is samatvam? It means equanimity, seeing what is normally seen as dualities, seeing them as equal in some sense. Happiness, distress, fame, and infamy especially are considered, and so on. So like that, he's given some basic introduction. And he's also mentioned just before this, Krishna has just mentioned before this, that a person who is situated in yoga he knows what is what to that extent that he or she is not confused, is not bewildered by many statements of Shruti, of scriptures. Devotees are persons who like to take guidance from scripture, but scripture can also be confusing because it seems to say a lot of different things. And Krishna says, someone who's really doing yoga is not going to be confused. So then Arjuna is asking this question. And it's interesting because he is asking, in a sense, for what now we might call empirical evidence. Okay, we can talk theoretically about yoga, somebody's doing yoga, that's nice, but I want to recognize somebody who's we say in English, the real deal. Someone who is actually accomplished. The word used is sthita prajna, sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. So prajna, the word prajna, the word gya means knowing, knowledge, and prajna means really knowing, has that sense, but it has a sense of also knowing intuitively. Do you know the word intuitive? Intuitive, you say? Huh? Intuitive. Intuitive. Huh? Intuitive. So, all of those. But sthita prajna, someone who is standing, who is fixed, who's really there all the time. Not just, sometimes you read in books about yoga, they may talk about meditation, and they'll say something like, yeah, if you can stay in meditation in samadhi for 1 minute, you're doing good, you know. You have your clock and you're timing yourself. 1 minute. Oh, 5 more seconds to go. That's no. Sthita prajnasya and samadhi stasya, samadhi sta, fixed in samadhi. Sthita di means awake, it means intelligent, it means sober. Not intoxicated, like that. So someone who is very fixed in intelligence, how do I recognize such a person? And then Krishna is going to answer this question in the remaining verses of chapter 2. That's a tip if you want to study chapter 2 Bhagavad Gita. From verse 54 to verse 72, you're getting a little lesson in what it would mean to be what Arjuna is asking here. All right, I don't see that anyone's particularly excited about that information. So maybe we move on from there to see what else Arjuna asks. And you may not relate to this question because you may think, well, whether or not I can recognize such a person may not be critical for my life. I'm just struggling to manage my life. I'm struggling now with, now there's so much inflation. I also here in Slovenia, isn't it? Inflation. Things cost more money. So maybe our first question is, Krishna, how am I going to pay my bills? That may not be the right question for Krishna, but it's understandable and Krishna is aware of the problem. But a better question might be, Krishna, how can I situate myself in such a way that whether there is inflation or deflation or noflation, I will always remember you. I will always be in your shelter. That sort of question would be good. Okay, so we've had one rhetorical question in which Arjuna is basically saying there's no question that I can do this, but he's opened himself now by approaching Krishna as his student, his shishya. And Krishna has then, we didn't mention this before, but Krishna begins his instruction to Arjuna by essentially saying, Arjuna, you are a fool. You are a fool because you are speaking very learned words, but you don't even know the difference between spirit and matter. So, all right, I'm going to teach you. And so he gives that basic lesson. Dehi nosmin yata dehe. Komaram yovanam jara tata dehantara praptir. Dhira statra namuyati, the dhira, the one who is sober, the one who is not disturbed, is not going to be disturbed even at the time of death. Because he or she knows, I'm just passing on to another life. So after that instruction and more about practice of yoga, Arjuna is now saying, okay, yoga, great. How do I know somebody is a yogi? Implied in this question is also, how do I know who is not a yogi? And therefore, whose example can I follow and whose example should I not follow? So he's suggesting here that he would like Krishna to help him discriminate between persons who are actually doing what Krishna's teaching and those who might be saying they're doing, but maybe they're not actually doing. So that distinction is there. Again, I'm not going to answer. I'm not going to give Krishna's answer. You have to either wait for the next lecture or read Bhagavad Gita. How many of you have read Bhagavad Gita? Very good. How many of you have read it twice? Very good. Three times. Less and less. I won't go from there. Yes, we can always read Bhagavad Gita and always be illuminated by Krishna's teachings. Now, it could be, of course, that we can say, well, to the question how to ask Krishna a question, the answer is, I don't really need to know how to ask Krishna a question because all the good questions have already been asked. Arjuna asked all the good questions. And if he didn't ask all the good questions, then in the Bhagavatam we have lots of good questions from Maharaj Parikshit to Shukadeva Goswami. So I don't have to know what are good questions or bad questions. I don't have to ask any questions, we may say. Ah, no, that would be wrong to think like that. I'm going to jump now to, oops, where is it? Oh, maybe it's not here. There it is. This is not a question. This is Krishna telling us that we should ask questions. Okay, all of us together with the Sanskrit. Tatvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Okay, now let's get a proper recitation of the Slovensky translation. Who wants to read? Lila. Louder.
Poskusiš videti resnico tako, da se predaš duhovnemu učitelju. Ponižno mu postavljaj vprašanje in mu služi. Samo spoznane duše ti lahko posredujejo znanje, ker so videle resnico.
Shall we do it again? Yes, one more. You did it so well. You can do it again.
Poskusi izvedeti resnico tako, da se predaš duhovnemu učitelju. Ponižno mu postavljaj vprašanja in mu služi. Samo spoznane duše ti lahko posredujejo znanje, ker so videle resnico.
Bravo. That was easy for you. All right, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he, or they, it's actually in plural in the Sanskrit, have seen the truth. So that's the little formula, which is a kind of expansion, if you like, of going back to chapter 2 when Arjuna was saying, Shishyaste hum, I am your student and you are my teacher. So now, how to be a good student? This is giving the formula with three elements. And the first element is for many people the most difficult. Tatvidhi pranipatena, as Boy George put it, bow down, mister. How do you say that in Slovenian? One person, if you all say it, it sounds like zzz. Pe? Priklonice. It doesn't work like bow down mister in the song. Priklonice, priklonice. Is that right? Okay. Yeah, so that's a tough one for many people. But it's essential. Krishna says, first step is to recognize that, you know, who are we? If we're going to the guru with some pride where we think we know more than he or she does, then we're in trouble. Sometimes I tell about one professor I had. He was a very nice gentleman, very learned about Indian religions, and he was teaching a course, a survey course, on yoga traditions of India. And I think I was the only student in his class who had the slightest clue what he was talking about. The other students were fairly clueless. But one day he was talking about gurus, and he said, "I don't like gurus." What is this? And then he gave his little story about why he doesn't like gurus. And it was a silly story. He said that he met one guru in India, and after the guru gave his talk, he, the professor, asked him a question. And the guru could immediately understand from the style of the question that this professor was trying to show off and was trying to make the guru look foolish. He immediately understood that. And so he said, "Oh, you want to challenge." And that was enough for this professor to decide that he does not like gurus. Now, does that sound scientific? No, it's completely unscientific. But this professor was about to retire, so he didn't care about whether he said something scientific or not. Alas. Hare Krishna. So, tatvidhi pranipatena. And now, here comes the point, which goes with today's class. Everybody can get ready. Pari prashnena sevaya. Please repeat. Pari prashnena sevaya. Actually, I said too much. It's pari prashnena. Yes. Actually, it's pari prashna, but with a grammatical ending for the context, it becomes pari prashnena. Prashna, you know this word. Yeah. In Slovenian? Prasha? Prashane. There you go. You're halfway there. You can speak directly with Krishna in Slovenian. He'll understand every word. So, huh? Yes. Pranipat. Ni means down. Nipat means down, flat, falling. And pranipat means all the way. Not just, you know, sometimes we sort of, we touch our hand to the floor and touch our head. That's one way of, that's not pranipat. So, pari prashna, the pari part, this pari means around, and it also means thorough, so thoroughly asking. It means we go on asking questions. You go on asking questions. That's the process. And if we think, no, I already know, I've already asked all the questions I have. Then we have to ask ourselves, do I really know? Do I really understand? Do I really understand? Have I really grasped? what is this Krishna consciousness? And then the third part of the formula, you all know, sevaya. Again, this is a grammatical adjustment for the context. Otherwise, the word is seva. Seva. With a long A. So this seva means service, but it's service. There's an expression in English, service with a smile. But it's more than that. It's being attentively a servant. There are different kinds of disciples. Remember, Arjuna says, I'm your disciple, shishya. There are different kinds of disciples. There's the guru sevi. That's a disciple who is intent on serving the guru. There's the guru bogi. Guess what that is? That's the disciple who wants to enjoy the guru, wants to, you know, find ways of enjoying being the disciple of the guru or whatever. There's the guru tyagi. That's the disciple who gives up the guru. And there's the guru drohi, the disciple who criticizes the guru. Which of these four do you think is preferred? Pretty obvious, isn't it? Yeah, so Krishna is saying here, there's a little formula. Obeisance, questioning, and service. Now, my tip for the day is we can think about this with respect to every sort of question that comes into our minds, also in relation to our ordinary life. We wake up in the morning, what am I going to do today? Oh, Krishna, tell me what I should do today. Well, okay, step one, offer obeisance. That's anyway part of the routine of a devotee who is practicing sadhana bhakti, devotional yoga. Getting up, offering obeisance to the guru, offering obeisance to Krishna. Yes, even before bathing. Yeah. Then there's the question, and then there's the service. And it's a package. And they all go together. And when we get that package spirit, that spirit of a package of submission, questioning, service, then we start putting ourselves in that position where we can start asking the right questions that Krishna will answer. But now comes the warning. Don't expect that Krishna will answer you the way you expect. Krishna just might surprise you. In fact, it's more likely that he's going to surprise you than not. So don't think I'm asking. It's often the case, and this also happens a lot. We hear this a lot. The disciple asks the guru, Guru Maharaj, what is your opinion about X, Y, or Z? What is your opinion? It's not about asking, you know, submissively, what should I do, or what is the teaching, and what is the higher understanding. No, what is your opinion? Oh, that's your opinion. Well, let me go see what this other person's opinion is. I'll take a few opinions. Maybe I'll accept your opinion, but I'll let you know later. No, that is not the guru-disciple relation. What is your opinion? It's, of course, now in modern, especially Western culture, that's what it's become very much. Yeah, well, I have... Yes, you, Guru Maharaj, you have your opinion. I have my opinion. That is not the way it works. That's my opinion. Actually, Krishna, sometimes in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, this is my opinion. He actually says that. So you could argue against what I just said and said, but Krishna says it's my opinion. Yes. What is it? Ye me matam. This is my opinion. Okay. Shishi pancha tattva ki jai. I think I should stop there. There are many more questions that Arjuna asked Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Well, many, there's a few more, and they're very... What I want to suggest, as you're again reading Bhagavad Gita, is be more aware of the questions that Arjuna asks and see how Krishna is answering those questions. He's responding. It's a dialogue. He's answering those questions, and by... tuning in to that dialogical dynamic, we start to listen in a similar way that Arjuna is listening to what Krishna says. So as we were discussing last time, why listen to Krishna? Well, one reason could be because the questions that Arjuna asks are really good questions, and the answers to those questions are really good too. Hare Krishna. Now, I'm going to embarrass myself by asking, are there any questions? And what's going to happen is nobody's going to have a question, which could be embarrassing. No. You have a comment. A question, okay.
Hare Krishna. How to understand so-called silence of God? Or does it even exist, or we just have that kind of perception?
The so-called silence of God. God can be silent when Queen Kunti offered prayers to Krishna. After offering so many wonderful prayers, Krishna didn't say anything. He was silent. After Lord Brahma asked questions, sorry, he didn't ask questions. What am I saying? He offered prayers to Krishna. Krishna was silent. So sometimes the Lord can be silent. But it can also be the case that the Lord is communicating to us in a very loud voice, which we don't hear. Because we're not listening. And so one of the skills of God consciousness, of we call it Krishna consciousness, is becoming sensitized to Krishna's words. And one way that we become sensitized, a very important way, is that we can hear Shastra, we can read Shastra, because Krishna is speaking. We can hear, if we're sensitive, we can hear Krishna speaking to us through Shastra. We can, many devotees will attest that sometimes they've had an issue, some problem, what to do, what to say, how to act. And then they will randomly open Bhagavad Gita and read a verse and a purport, and they'll say, that was it. That's exactly what I needed to hear. Krishna can speak to us in so many different ways. He can speak, he especially speaks through his devotees. And he can speak through all sorts, anybody, anyone. There are many stories of devotees who have had that experience, that someone told them something, maybe scolded them some way, and they understood, oh, that's Krishna. Krishna is telling me something. So, yes, the Lord can be silent, but then what is the message of that silence that we may want to reflect on? And when he's not being, when he is being silent, he is still speaking through his words in Shastra, which is communicated to us through Srila Vyasadeva and so on. So I would say, don't worry. the Lord may seem to be silent, but he can speak in so many ways. Sometimes a devotee will come to me and say, oh, Swamiji, I'm having so much trouble. Everywhere I look, everything I do, it's wrong. Everything happening to me is, it's not working out. What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? And I have a kind of standard suggestion, and that is take Bhagavad Gita and find three statements in Bhagavad Gita that address you. It may be verses, it may be in a purport, maybe a combination. But find three messages to your that you feel in some way resonates with you. And it seems to always work. Devotees come back to me and say, Swamiji, it worked. Now it's clear what to do. So that's my little tip for today, for today's Sunday feast program. Practical tip. Is that okay? All right. I think now is going on arti, isn't it? It is going on very silently. Krishna is appearing silent on the altar. Panchatattva, all five forms are silently receiving arti. But maybe we should not so silently sing for Krishna. Silently sing? No, that doesn't work. Let's sing loudly for Krishna, shall we? What do you think? Yes, okay. Thank you all for your kind and patient attention and for tolerating my attempts at Slovenian pronunciation. And yes, all the best for you for this coming week. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.